Good morning and welcome back to the Doorstops Podcast. My name is Dr. Cody Price, and we're back with part two of our talk with Michelle Norris from National Church Residences, who spoke with us last time about the five myths of affordable housing. If you missed this podcast, the episode can be found on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorstops Podcast so that you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account at Ohio Doorsteps. So as a recap, Michelle is the Executive Vice President of External Affairs and Strategic Initiatives at National Church Residences, as well as the President of National Church Residences Investment Corporation. National Church Residences is an innovative leader in housing, health care, and other supportive services for seniors and families. Michelle guides them in their mission towards greater focus, impact, and investment. Her primary responsibilities include mission expansion and impact, public policy, community affairs, communications, and public relations. And so for this podcast, I've asked Michelle to kind of delve further into the senior tsunami or this senior affordable housing issue that we're kind of dealing with not only in Central Ohio, but Ohio and kind of the nation as a whole. I'm also asking Michelle to kind of speak about National Church Residences and how they really deal with this senior affordable housing issue and how this will affect the future of affordable housing. And so, Michelle, welcome back to the Doorstops Podcast, and thank you again for being able to speak to us about senior affordable housing.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Thank you. And so the first couple of things that I would like to discuss are the current numbers of seniors within Ohio, where they are located within Ohio, and how these numbers are expected to grow. So based on our recent 2019 housing needs assessment, which can be found on our office's website at ohiohome.org, I'll also be providing a direct link to this report in the description of the podcast. But within this, we kind of find that seniors 65 years of age and older currently represent about 16% of Ohio's population, or about 1.8 million people. And this number is expected to grow to about almost 3 million by 2040. And so what does this really mean for a senior affordable housing?
Well, it means that we need a lot more of it. Yeah. That's a pretty simple answer, isn't it? It's absolutely true that this is such an unusual time in our history of our country. The senior population is growing so fast, and it's really putting a lot of pressure on every system. And that is, it puts pressure on family systems. We now find that right now we have statistically three people for every one senior. So in terms of families, you have three support or care providers for every one family members. By 2040, I believe it's going to be a one-to-one ratio. So, for example, in my family, I look back on, and I think this is pretty typical, both my parents had three siblings each. So there were four children for the parents. So as the parents aged, there were four of them to kind of share in the caregiving. Mm-hmm. In my family, I have a brother. So my brother and I are now, we have two very, very healthy, and I'm very blessed by that, but two parents who are in their 80s, but we have two of us. I have a single child. And so I've always told her that you're it. So when I get older, you know, she's on. But the good thing was I was really smart and I paid for her to go to nursing school. So, I have built in healthcare. Anyway, so it's not, you know, as we shrink families down, we find that it puts a lot of stress, on families. And not every family is able to move mom or dad into their home when they're in their 70s or 80s. And so many of them suddenly say, wow, mom and dad can't live on their own anymore. I don't have enough space in my house, but I want them by nearby. Well, I need a place that's reasonably priced for them to live. Mm-hmm. I need affordable housing. Where is it?
Right.
And then they get the shock. There is hardly any. The ratio is scary. The shortfall is amazingly significant in terms of the number of people that need it and the number of units that are available. So what does this mean to senior affordable housing? That means that there's a lot of pressure to build more. We need to build more. It's very compelling when you have that many more people coming into the system that you've just got to build more.
Yes. And so kind of getting with this, how many seniors do you see typically need access to affordable housing? So of the senior population, right, that we're getting up to almost 3 million seniors by 2040, how many of them will actually need access to affordable housing? I know you said that we're kind of moving to fixed incomes at that age, but how many?
Sure. So we think about, of course, of a bell curve, every, you know, the bell curve of your incomes. And so you've gone ahead, you know, maybe high level jobs, saved a lot, maybe even had long-term care insurance. So their health needs happen. They have insurance to cover those needs. That's kind of on the far end of the spectrum. But then, so for every part of that spectrum, you just have three, four, five times as many people coming into that spectrum. Mm-hmm. So we think about that lower income spectrum as the place where, as that more and more people come in, you're just going to need more housing. Right now, we have just, again, it's a general stat, is that for every one unit of our affordable senior housing, we have 10 people on the wait list. That's right now. So if we are growing the number of seniors by 8 or 10,000 people every single day turning 65, just do that math and you'll figure that wait list is certainly not going to get shorter. So the need is already compelling. The need will probably double over the next probably 10 to 15 years.
And so when we're starting to think more about senior affordable housing, how does this type of housing really differ from, say, family affordable housing? Like, are there different accesses to services? Are there on-site services that are provided? Really considering in this aging in place that it's just like once they move in, they're probably going to stay there a lot longer than what a family typically would. And so if you could just talk about kind of these unit differences and structures, like why is it just affordable housing? Why do we need specified family affordable housing and senior affordable housing?
Sure. And not every senior, I will say, wants to live in a senior community. It's a choice. It's an option. What we find is as our age of life gets longer and we are now becoming a country where people live into their 80s and into their 90s, as a matter of fact anymore, that doesn't mean you live that long with the same ability to take care of yourself. What we call is the activities of daily living. As you grow old, one of the things we try to talk about is we have a bunch of different kinds of seniors. In affordable housing, 55 is the age of which you can move into a senior community. Well, I'm over the age of 55, and I find that amazing. It's like, really? I don't really feel like I'm ready to go to an affordable or into a senior community. So 55 versus 95 is a 40-year span, and we lump them all into their seniors. It's a pretty, you've got generations of seniors. And so one of the things we need to think about is, are there different housing types required for different ages of seniors? I would say the younger senior population, they may want a what we call patio home. They don't want a big yard. They want to not have to handle steps anymore. They don't need three bedrooms, but they still want their own exit door, and they want to feel like, you know, they can come and go as they please. Somebody who is in their 80s or 90s may choose instead a place where they feel like they don't ever, ever have to worry about snow or cutting their grass. They want to live where they can just walk down the hall and be with a bunch of their friends. They want to be able to not have to go outside and still be able to play cards during the day without having to drive somewhere. So when we think about senior housing design, the first thing I always encourage people to do is make sure you're talking about what senior are you trying to target. And make sure that we're thinking about all kinds of seniors and all kinds of lifestyles. That being said, when we think about what I would call the aging senior population, there are some components of that that we think about. One is obviously elevated buildings. Don't build a walk-up for a senior. It's just not a good idea. And so, again, it might work for them when they're in their 60s, but it may not work for them in their 80s. So you're forcing them to make a move if you put them in a walk-up. So that's just a good example. We've started trying to do things like covered parking or underground. Underground parking is very expensive, but it certainly is a wonderful amenity if you can build it. For a senior who doesn't have to get the snow off their car. Smaller unit sizes is totally fine. A lot of seniors don't want that much square footage. What we would call senior-friendly, things like the levers on the door as opposed to a knob on the door, just for somebody who might have arthritis. We like to have our units have very open floor plans so that if you need a walker at some point or if you need a wheelchair at some point, you have the ability to move around your apartment without having to move. So that's why these designs are pretty unique to a senior population compared to the family population. we might put a playground in there because we have a lot of visiting grandkids. Mm-hmm. But we might not put four playgrounds in.
Right.
So, you know, those are the kind of things we think about.
No, that's great. And so kind of getting more into like what you guys are offering, can you kind of just explain more to those that for our listeners that don't know, like who is a National Church of Residences? Like what is it that you guys do? When did you start?
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about the organization?
Sure. I'd love to. So National Church Residences was founded right here in Columbus, Ohio in 1961. So interesting, it's around the same time that affordable housing became a national program. And we as an organization were founded here, and our very first community was in Waverly, Ohio, called Bristol Village. And from there we branched out and became a very large developer, owner, and operator of affordable housing across the country, using every program that affordable housing that was created. There, we've used the HUD 202 program, which is specifically for seniors. We use the low-income housing tax credit program. We've used a program called Rural Development, which is out of the Department of Agriculture. So our answer is our mission is housing for seniors, not a particular program for seniors. The second thing we did as an organization is we said we're not just a housing provider. We want to be able to ensure that seniors are able to stay home for life. That means that we don't just provide a roof over their head. We also want to connect them to the services that they may need. They may need no services when they walk in our door, but over time they may need services, and then they may need more services. So we call ourselves an organization that addresses the continuum of care for the senior population. And we have everything from standalone independent apartments all the way to assisted living. We provide care in people's homes. If you just need a bath once a week because you have a hard time getting in out of your bath, we'll come to you in your home. So we have a whole variety. We actually have a hospice program that's fabulous. Yeah. And we also do adult day. So if you think seniors, we want you to think of National Church Residences. But our strong basic footprint started with affordable senior housing. We have about 20,000 units of affordable senior housing across the country. We're probably one of the largest in the country doing that work.
Yeah, and so kind of getting more into this, so what are your major strengths with developing senior affordable housing? Which, by the way, congratulations on being named one of the top 50 affordable housing developers of 2017 by the Affordable Housing Finance Magazine.
Thank you, we're thrilled. One of the things that I will say that makes National Church Residences unique is we have a strong partnership value. People ask me often, well, how do you figure out what the next project is that you're gonna do? Mm-hmm. My answer is we don't have to go find projects. Different communities, different opportunities come to us, partly because we have a great reputation and that we're very proud of that. We're very humbled by that. We in many ways say, you know, we've been given much, and of that, much is expected. We need to use our resources and our talents appropriately. But we find that we have a lot of partners and a lot of people that say our community needs more senior housing options. And almost every community does. So we are often not, we don't have to go look for opportunities. We have to figure out what the most important opportunities are of the list that we have. And so that's it's a nice place to be. Mm-hmm. But it also tells you how important the need is.
Right.
And so that's kind of the first thing we do is we talk to partners and we try to figure out where the most compelling places are that we should be putting our resources and our talent. And then we go and work with that partner, that community.
Local champion.
Yes, that local champion. And then the second thing is, because we've been doing affordable housing for years, we're about 50, almost 60-year-old organization now. We've become very good at putting together complicated financing. We have a lot of great people on our team, a lot of really smart people. And affordable housing is not for the faint of heart. It is complicated. It takes a long time to develop, much longer than normal real estate, because you have to put together a whole bunch of different funding sources. And we as an organization are really good at that and going to find the last dollar that we need in order to make the best project possible. And often that means holding off for a year until we have all the money we need. So we are, I'd say, bullish and kind of bulldogs about trying to find what it takes to make a really high quality community. We know, to your point earlier, our residents, when they move in, they're going to stay for a long time. I have gone to some of our communities that are 30 years old, and I have original residents that come up to me and say, I have been here for the whole 30 years.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So think about that. They may have moved in when they're 62. They're 92, and right. They have been living in our community for 30 years. That makes me so proud.
Mm-hmm. And so you were kind of talking about the major funding sources that you guys are using, talking about the 202 program, talking about the LIHTC, talking about the rural development. But how has this really changed over the years? I mean, I know in our first podcast, we were really talking about the LIHTC program as the prominent source mm-hmm. for new construction affordable housing. I know you guys do some rehab construction. How has this changed since National Church Residences was started in the mm-hmm. 60s, and how has this changed to present day?
Right. So I'll start by saying we have a philosophy doing affordable senior housing in every way we can because, again, going back to the need. So we think about it in three tranches. The first is we want to continue to build everything we can. The second thing is we want to preserve all of the stock that we currently have. Every affordable housing unit that I have, some of it's getting old. You mentioned we're almost 60 years old. So are some of our buildings. And so we need to continue to make sure each of our buildings stays up to date and is continually rehabbed to be preserved. And then the third thing is we want to make sure that people that some people who want to get out of the business don't get out of the business and we lose those housing units. We are actively buying senior housing communities. So we look at that and say, we need to be doing all three of those approaches in order to make sure we get every single unit either built or preserved. With that, the funding sources constantly have changed. When we started our organization and built the beginning of our network of affordable senior housing, almost all of it was built with this beautiful program called the HUD 202 program. And it was a HUD program, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Essentially, HUD gave you almost all the money you needed to build the building, and then they gave you a rent subsidy so that you could rent to some of the folks who had the least amount of money. And it was an amazing program, and we built a bunch of those units. We built a bunch of housing. We would sometimes build 7, 8, 9 of those communities in a year, all across the country. And then that program changed. It got very expensive for Congress to fund. And so they went from one generation of that program to another generation of that program, and I won't bore you with all the names, but the second generation of that program that started in the 90s became much smaller. The units became fewer. There were, instead of building a 200-unit building, I was building a 50-unit building. So it became very clear to us that for us to continue to build the number of units we needed to build, we had to look at another program because that program wasn't going to build enough units. And that's when we turned to the tax credit program. And it was just starting to get ramped up in the early 90s. And we started developing using that program as well. And that is now the major funding source by which we build affordable senior housing. We may add on other layers of financing, but the core or the basic building block is the low-income housing tax credit program. We use it not only to build new buildings, but we also use it to preserve the buildings we have. And then often we may go out and buy somebody else's building and then use the tax credit program to rehab it. So in all three of our strategies, the tax credit program has been a huge blessing.
That's great to hear. And so dealing with all these developments that you guys are doing, being in the system for so long, so already, like you said, almost 60 years in the business, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've seen throughout this time, like really with developing senior affordable housing?
The biggest challenge, I'm just going to say one big challenge, and that is pace. It's basically been my message probably throughout this podcast. The number of seniors coming into the system, the number of seniors who need affordable housing is growing way faster than we can build. Not long ago, I was in Atlanta. In Atlanta, they had just done a study that said in the greater Atlanta area, by 2040, they projected a 1.2 million shortage of units. 1.2 million shortfall of units for seniors in affordable senior units in Atlanta alone. I did that math, and that is we'd have to build 50,000 units a year in just Atlanta. 50,000 a year. So you look at that and you go, well, done. We can't do it. Let's just stop. The pace will never keep up, or it's hopeless. Let's just not even worry about it. I say instead, that is the compelling reason. Do everything you can and think of other options. But let's start with the fact that the pace, I think, is the biggest challenge we have.
And so what are these things that we can do?
Well, thank you for asking that question, because National Church Residences realized, we realized a while ago that we would never be able to build our way out of the shortfall of the needs for seniors. And so what we have come to realize, and this is so important, if somebody lives in an affordable senior housing community, they are blessed by paying about 30 to 40% of their income for their unit, for their rent, for their home above their head. If that very same senior, same income, is living in a house across the street, waiting to get into that senior building, they're probably paying 70% of their income for their housing. So that's pretty compelling, right? They're paying 30% if they live in my building. They're paying 70% if they're living in their own home. And so what does that mean to that senior living in their home? Well, probably, this is probably no surprise, those are the seniors where you probably see that their house is not being as well taken care of because their roof may be getting old and they can't afford to put a new roof on. Yeah. The thing you don't see is that they're making choices every day on whether they can stock their refrigerator or pay for their diabetic medicine. And so we want as many of those seniors that are in that situation to come into our building. But given the fact that we have a wait list often 4, 5, 6 years in a building, what we are now doing is turning our attention and saying, why they're waiting to get into my building, or if they never get into my building, how do I help them now? And so we're looking at what we call community-based services. And so, for example, there are a lot of services that really are designed to help people in their home. And often those can be either skilled nursing tasks, like you might need to come in and have some a significant dressing changed. You might have fallen and have a wound. But we also find that people need help just taking care of themselves. And so we have what we call a private duty or a non-skilled service that we can go into somebody's home. And if they need a bath once a week and they need somebody to do their groceries once a week or they need somebody to walk their dog, we can actually come in and spend a couple hours in your home. And so that is a way for us to continue to make sure that that group of seniors that need help in some way or another are getting help, whether it's through an affordable housing program or through another program to help them in the community at large. As we say, we want seniors to live in their home for life. And so that may be in our apartment or that may be in their home across the street.
No, that's great. Thank you. And so finally, what advice would you give our listeners about developing senior affordable housing or anything else about affordable housing in general? Kind of your final send off.
Well, I'm going to assume that people that are listening to this podcast probably have some interest in affordable housing, and actually many of them may be in the industry. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is it is one of those areas where everybody can be a champion and everybody needs to be a champion. Whether you are a champion by doing a research paper about the problems of NIMBYism and breaking down some of the myths of NIMBYism, or I'm out there being a practitioner and trying to develop the next housing unit, or I have a caseworker who's out there caring for somebody in their home, or I am somebody who's helping a child with a reading program inside an affordable housing community, there is a place for every champion. There is a place to make a difference in this world and to have a calling. And inside affordable housing, because the need is so great, we need every champion we can get. And so I guess if I have, the one thing I would say is I would encourage everybody to step up and say, what's my calling inside this very important need that we have in this country?
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And so I know previously you suggested in our previous podcast that you suggested the book Nickeled and Dimed. And so I was just wondering, do you have another book suggestion that you can give our listeners that has really helped you with your career or is really informative about affordable housing in general?
So I did mention Nickeled and Dimed. I love that book. I also, Paycheck to Paycheck is a great book. Evicted, which is a more recent book. All great books that really focus on this area. And so they're all great, and I really encourage people to read those if you're in this industry, in this space, in this service line. But I will just, I'm going to take your question and go someplace else with it because I can. I love to read, and what I love to read most is stories of people that overcome. And so I have a bunch of books that I've kind of off the top of my head that I was thinking about, everything from, John Adams, which is a great book by David McCullough that, it just understanding how hard things were back in the day of John Adams. And here's a man who actually wasn't a very successful statesman when he went overseas as an ambassador and then came back to be president. So I'm inspired by people that may not be, you know, they find their game at some point, but it may not be right away. I love that. I was a big fan. I read every Helen Keller book that there was to read. Mother Teresa is one of my favorites. There's a book, I actually am infatuated with Queen Elizabeth right now and read one of her biographies that is just an amazing story. And mostly I will also tell you my favorite book right now is a book called, and this is probably for those who have a more faith-based calling, and that is called The Hole in Our Gospel. And it's a great book by the gentleman who heads World Vision. He's about to retire, just an amazing man. But it's a real call to be bold about fighting poverty. There is poverty everywhere. There probably always will be, but that doesn't mean we need to be accepting of it. There is a way to impact the amount of folks that are in poverty. We talk about the fact that we're in an affordable housing crisis right now. There's a way to make that crisis be less of a crisis, and it means people stepping up. And so I like books that challenge me to be a better person.
Oh, those all sound like great suggestions. Thank you. And so thank you so much again, Michelle, for coming in today and speaking to us about senior affordable housing, talking to us about why we should really care about senior affordable housing and seniors in general with the aging population that's coming in the future years, the number, the rate, just everything. So thank you for talking about that.
Well, thank you for helping us raise the concern. It's one that I think more people are seeing on a personal level, but it's hard to kind of articulate how big the issue is, and helping people understand it is very helpful. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks. And so for our listeners, please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorsteps podcast so that you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account @OhioDoorsteps. Thank you.